Bible, if you please, and went through Psalms. And this year, we're going through the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a book that's written by someone that's considered to be the wisest man to have ever lived, a man by the name of Solomon. And he was granted one wish by God, that he could have anything that he wanted. And his request was that he would receive wisdom. And God granted him requests, and to this day, he's considered to be the wisest man that has ever lived. And so I thought, I don't know about you, but I want to learn from the best, right? When it comes to life and how to do life and how to handle life, I want to learn from the best. So the book of Proverbs is this book inserted right into the middle of the Bible on how to live your everyday life. It's full of practical insight and wisdom on what it looks to live the life that God designed and orchestrated for you to live. And so we're in that book. And I thought this morning, and if you haven't had a chance to be here every Sunday, I know everybody's been on vacation and moving around. So I want you to go back and listen to the podcast. Every week we've just taken a different topic and we just talked about it. And today we're gonna talk about a really unique topic. I want to start by just kind of doing a group session here this morning. And so I want, Steve, if you'd throw me, I want to ask you what or who you think is better. All right, we'll just do like a quick survey. So what do you think is better, Mexican food or Italian food? Like, Italian food? Some of you are like, I'll miss a lot of things in life, but not Taco Tuesday, right? But there's nothing like pasta, right? So real quick, wave of hands, who's for Italian food? All right, we got some of you. Who's for Mexican food? Most of you loving Mexican food. All right. How about this? What do you think is a better destination, East Coast or West Coast? Yeah, I'm in Southern California, right? Pretty easy. This one. Any East Coast folks? Oh, we got some. All right, we have a couple. I think you're outnumbered this morning. So, East Coast versus West Coast, what do you think is better? What do you think is better? How many Avenger fans do we have this morning? Come on, all you don't be ashamed. I know it's not a kids' class, but you know, as adults, you were making sure you were in line. Who's better, Iron Man or Captain America? Oh, okay, that was a little closer. We may have a fight going on this morning. I better be careful this morning. Some of you massive Iron Man fans, and some of you Captain America. How about when it comes to actors? How about when it comes to actors? How many of you, real quick, who do you think is better, Leonardo? Any Tom Cruise fans? All right, there's a few Tom. Leo kind of was like outright. I heard a lot of ladies yelling Leo, by the way. All right, guys, how about you? How about Angelina Jolie or Julia Roberts? Like, do you want the timeless, classless Julia Roberts, or are you like, let's go Angelina Jolie? Not very many Angelina. Wow. All right. Okay, well, here's what I want to show you this morning is the truth is, when you're comparing these people, there's a saying, you probably heard it, where you're comparing apples to apples. You ever heard of that? Heard that saying? And it's a saying, an idiom we use to describe when we're able to compare things that are pretty reasonably similar, right? But then there's another saying is when you're called, it says when you're trying to compare apples to orange. The truth is, this morning, what we're doing is we're not really comparing apples to apples. We're talking about Italian food versus Mexican food. In my opinion, that's a dumb dichotomy. I'm like, give me both. And then dessert to finish it off, right? So sometimes I've discovered this when we have this tendency to compare. We're always comparing things, right? And the truth is, most of the time when we're comparing things, we're not comparing apples to apples. We're comparing apples to oranges, things that really reasonably cannot be compared one to another. And what happens is we all become victims of what I really want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the comparison trap. And we've all been victims of it at some point in our lives, right? We see the success of others on social media. I mean, thank God for Instagram and Facebook, where you get to see everything everybody is doing. And so when we're doing it, we tend to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We often view our best moments, right, to others' shining success. A lot of times, and I think if you're honest with me this morning, you'd agree with me. A lot of times when you're looking at social media, You're looking at Instagram and everybody's posting, right, the luxurious life that they're living, and they got their makeup perfect, and they've taken time to get that image just perfect of whatever picture that they're taking. It's like sometimes you're sitting on the couch and you're scrolling through Instagram, and it's like you're watching your blooper reel and you're comparing it to their highlight reel. And you think that you can compare them equally, right? You're comparing apples to oranges. And what happens is we get stuck. We get stuck in what I'm going to call this morning the comparison trap, right? Some of you ladies, right? You're comparing yourself to that fit mom on Instagram who constantly posts her workout videos and her hot gym selfies all over Instagram. And you're like, look at me. My body's just like basically this lumpy, like just dumpy, frumpy. And you're in your PJs and, you know. And that's what you compare yourself to, right? Or you start viewing somebody's, they post a picture of their beautiful home and they just finished cleaning it and they've staged the furniture perfect and you're like, oh my God, you know, you're home with your kids and they just spilled milk on the floor and they, you know, they broke something off of a shelf and you're comparing your blooper reel to their highlight reel, right? You start looking people posting about the, it's summertime, right? Everybody's posting about the vacations they are, and they've edited the, they've got filters, and they've edited the images, and it looks so amazing, and then here's what, you find yourself getting jealous of those people. Have you ever been there? No? Okay. I'm just going to talk to myself this morning, right? You're sitting at home on your couch, and they're jetting away on their vacation. They've got their beautiful home, and you may or may not realize that you're falling prey to the comparison trap. And Solomon, the wisest man who's ever lived, believe it or not, before Instagram and Facebook came about, every people all over the world were dealing with this idea of comparison. And Solomon, he says, number one, he says something like this. He says in Proverbs 13, he says, a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. I just thought I'd throw that verse in there for all of you that are jealous of the people that look like they have life, the perfect life. And a lot of times the truth is they've just filtered the images, they've staged everything just perfect. And it's the, you know, the selfie angle, right? You ever seen people like that you've seen all over Instagram for a period of time, then you meet them in person for the first time? Hello. Anybody ever? And it's kind of awkward, because they've angled that thing perfect, and they look like they're 110 pounds, and then you see them in person, they're like 180 pounds, and you're like, how the heck did you, they're completely different people. You're comparing your blooper reel to their highlight. The truth is, you're comparing it to something that is fake. And Solomon initially tells, he says, a pretentious, showy life, it's an empty life. And our society, it's built around producing this need in us. Advertising agencies, their sole job is to create this feeling of need within us that we can't live without their product. Like, you can't be happy without what is being promoted on the TV screen or your Instagram ad or your Facebook ads that pop up all the time that promote this need within us that if I don't have that, I'll never be happy. Or if I can just get my hand, if I can find a way to afford that product, I'm going to be happy just like that model in the picture. Look how happy she looks wearing that outfit. Look how amazing. Look at her life when she bought that purse and on it just building this need within it. When the truth is when we fall, a lot of times when we finally do get that product, it's nothing like it seems. Think about postcards, right? Describing a particular destination, and you've seen it, and it's like, it makes it look so glamorous, and you save up all your money, and you go there, and you get out of the car, and you're like, oh my God, this is not what it was cracked up to be. And this is just the way our society is programming us, that there's something that we have to have. Carl's Jr. is amazing at this with their cheeseburger, right? And they've got this beautiful woman that's just chowing down on this amazing. Have you ever been to Carl's Jr. and had their cheeseburger? Like, I'll take a Big Mac any day. As you can see, I do a lot of that. I'll take a Big Mac any day and every. But they make it look so amazing. You've got to have this. It's the comparison trap. And when we find ourselves comparing our lives, our finances, our material wealth, our beauty, our family, the truth is you'll never measure up to the standard that you're striving for. We'll always be trapped in this never-ending cycle. And then what happens is comparison, I know we're kind of making light of it this morning, but actually it goes really deep. Comparison, it eventually leads to things like unhappiness, jealousy. You may have found yourself being angry at times because you're comparing your life with someone else's. It forms discontentment within us, spite, hatred, arrogance. And here's the thing about comparison. Comparison will always leave you either feeling inferior or superior. And both of those are against God and how He wants you to feel about yourself. It's this trap. Solomon, once again, he writes about this. He says in Proverbs 14, he says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. The truth is, some of us, you've got migraine headaches. You've been sick all over the fact that you've been comparing your life to someone else's life. Solomon says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy. And this is probably one of the predominant characteristic traits that comes out of discontentment, out of comparison, is you become jealous. And he says, jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Literally, jealousy, the other translation of the scripture, it says jealousy is like a body that is rotting. And that's what jealousy produces inside of us. It's like cancer. It's eating away. It's eating away at your contentment, eating away at your happiness, eating away at your joy. This is what comparison does. Comparison robs you of joy. It keeps you from enjoying the things that you do have. Listen, don't allow what you want to keep you from enjoying what you already have. Right, this is what comparison, always looking to the other side of the fence, always looking for something else, and it's robbing you of your joy, and it's keeping you from enjoying what God's already, you know what else comparison does? Comparison stops you right in the middle of your tracks. Comparison will stop you from ever starting. You ever had, like, you wanted to decorate your house, or you wanted to plan a vacation, or you had something, a goal, a dream that you wanted to do, and then you start seeing other people that are doing it, and it's like theirs is so perfect that you're just like, you give up before you even start. All because you're comparing yourself. Stops you before you ever even get started. It's paralyzing. Comparison is paralyzing. It really is. But even worse than that, comparison is unhealthy, makes you unhappy, it's paralyzing, but comparison actually leads to sin. Comparison leads, because what comparison ultimately leads to is covetousness. Comparison leads you to wanting something that someone else has. One of the original Ten Commandments that God gave His people to live by, to dictate their life by, one of them was, He said, you shall not covet. This is a sin. God's saying, you shall not covet. This verse is easy to overlook because it says things like, you shall not covet your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house. And He says, you don't want to covet your neighbor's livestock, like their ox. Like, any of you been coveting your neighbor's ox lately? Right? So it's like, no, I don't have to. All right, I'm good. I can check that one off. I'm not doing that. But the truth is, inside of us, this is what comparison leads to. It makes us unhealthy, and ultimately, it leads us to coveting what other people had. Maybe a modern-day translation of the scripture would say something like, stop wishing you had a nice house like the one that you see on Pinterest. Stop wishing that your husband was as thoughtful, caring, as sensitive as all your girlfriends. Don't be jealous when you see your friend's vacation pictures, even though there's no way you can afford one right now. I'm giving this to you in a way that you can understand it this morning. Stop wishing you were as skinny, as pretty, as talented as those that you see on TV or Instagram. Or maybe we could sum it up with this one statement. Stop wishing you had someone else's perfect life and enjoy yours. Enjoy yours. And it's true. Maybe some practical advice before I kind of dive into what the scripture has to say about how to deal with contempt. Maybe some practical advice is some of you, maybe you need to turn off Instagram. Maybe you need to turn off Pinterest and Facebook. And maybe you need to turn off the opportunity to find yourself always dissatisfied with what you have. That causes you to compare yourself to other people and always find yourself less than them. That would be some practical advice I'd give you today. But the truth is, I think even by doing that, you really wouldn't fix the problem. Because really, the problem is at the heart of who you are. And so, luckily, the scripture gives us some amazing insight on how to deal with the comparison trap. Paul says in Romans, he kind of says like this. He says, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be somebody that you're not. Like, that's great biblical advice on how to deal with the comparison trap. Basically, what he's saying, the kids will say it like this: you do you and I'll do me. Like, you just do you. God has uniquely created you and put you in the unique environment that you are in today. Why don't you just do you and be happy with, be content with you, and stop being, it sounds so easy, right? Like, stop being envious of the people around you. Stop being jealous of people that you think have more than you or that are better than you or got life more smooth than you. Stop comparing yourselves with each other. Stop trying to be somebody that you are not. The truth is, that's easier said than done. I wish I could just tell you this morning, you know what? Just stop comparing yourself. Life will be so much better, and it's true. It's true. If you could heed that advice today, your life would be so much more healthy, so much more vibrant. Proverbs says you'd have a full life, a healthy life, if you just stop comparing yourself to other people. And that's sound advice, but the truth is, if you're like me, it's not that easy. You don't just wake up one day and tell yourself, you know what, today I'm just going to stop comparing myself. And you never look at an Instagram image and be like, my God, I wish I was there. I wish I had their house. Hopefully you're not saying you wish you had their wife or their husband, but you know, you're drooling over what everybody, and it'd be so nice if we could just wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I'm done with that. But it's not that easy, because we have to get to the heart, the root, not just the fruit, but the root of what's causing this discontentment that comes from comparison. It's a trap. It's a trap. And it's not easy to break out of it. So what do we do with comparison? How do we take back the life that we were given? How do we rescue it from the comparison trap? And I'm going to give you a couple ways. Number one, write this down this morning. This is important, right from the onset this morning, is contentment is key. Contentment is key. Contentment is one of those words, I think, in our modern world that doesn't mean much. If I were to ask you this morning, what would it take for you to have a contented life? I'd probably get all kinds of answers. Some of you would say, man, if I just had more money, I would be content. Pastor, you don't understand the job I have. If I could just get a better job, my life would be, or, you know, it'd be even better, Pastor, is I didn't even need a job at all. Wouldn't that be amazing? Like, I'm not even going to worry about it. Look for another job. I hit the lottery. You know, people say this all the time. If I hit the lottery tomorrow, oh my God, you don't even know, Pastor. I would be like living in cloud nine. Everything would be handled. I wouldn't have to work another day in my life. Some of you are saying, if I could just have better kids, if my kids weren't like demons, man, you don't understand, Pastor. I would be content. You don't know what I go through every single day. If I could have a better wife, or you don't understand, if my spouse would really work on herself, you know, or she'd lose some weight, you know, she'd brush her teeth in the morning, if she, you know, if I had a better, if my husband, God, if, you don't understand this guy, Pastor, if I had a better spouse, and all on and on and on and on. This is how oftentimes we view contentment. It's viewed through the lens that if I only had that thing, then I would be content. Or if I could only be like that person, right? I want to be like them. If I could be like them, if I had their life, oh man, look at that. It looks so amazing. They look so happy. They never have a problem in the world. Like, life is just going, that's not what contentment is about. And I want you to know that the key to unlocking the comparison trap is contentment. Contentment is a state of mind that comes regardless of the circumstances that you're in or what you possess. Paul, he defines contentment like this. He says, for I have learned. Let me just say this right now. Contentment is not just something you wake up tomorrow and you're like, you know what? I'm just thinking everything I have. This, I'm good. I'm fine. Paul says contentment doesn't come that easy. He says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Life has a way of doing this to you, right? There are those seasons of your life where everything is going great, and then it's like the rug is pulled out from you. You lose your job or something tragic happens in your life. You're left with nothing or you have loss. And Paul, he went through all of these, this roller coaster of emotions that all of us go through in life. And Paul said, I know what it's like to have everything, and I know what it's like to have nothing. And I've learned to be content. He said, I've learned the secret. Paul says there's a secret. This is what I want you to catch this morning. There's a secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, whether it's plenty or little. And here is, he says, here's why I've learned to be content. I've learned that I can do everything through Christ, who gives me strength. Paul's saying, I've learned to train my eyes not on what comes and goes, not the material possessions, none of that. I've learned to fix my eyes on Christ. I've learned to find my contentment. Listen, everything else is changing. Your financial situation may change. We as humans, listen, the truth is we change. Anybody seen the Face app lately? Some of you, you're in trouble the next 30 years. It's bad for you, okay? I looked at mine, I'm like, I'm not even posting that because I don't want my wife to even see what I'm going to look like in the next. She'll like decide, you know what, let's stop this right now. Listen, beauty fades, money disappears, all those things change. What Paul learned is I'm going to anchor my contentment in Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so whether everything's going good or I feel like I'm going through hell, I've just learned that I can do everything through Christ. Paul's saying, I've learned to train my eyes on the immovable, the unchangeable in Christ, and I find my contentment in Him. So in the good times, the bad times, all that, I've learned to find my contentment in Christ. And this is how, and you've met people like this, you've met people that irregardless of the situation they're in or life circumstance, you ever met people, they just have joy in their life. They go through the good times with a smile on their face, and the bad times, they're happy, never seem to be fazed by what's going on around them. They've anchored their contentment in Christ. And I'm going to show you this for the next couple of minutes, but ultimately, the only place you'll really find true contentment is in God. That's really where the ultimate contentment comes from. Paul said, I had to learn this. In other words, there was probably times in Paul's life where he was scrolling through Instagram. You know, the guy was shipwrecked 3 times. He spent a lot of his life in prison. In fact, much of the scriptures that we have today, he wrote in a prison cell. And I'm sure there was moments in his life where he was comparing his life as a Christ follower. This is the Apostle Paul, one of the original disciples of Jesus, who gave up his life to follow Jesus. And here he is, he's in prison. He's being beat. He's shipwrecked. He's sick. He has disease. Some theologians say that he was blind. You talk about somebody that had the right to be discontented. Paul said, I've learned. I've learned that I can do all things through Christ, that I secure my contentment in Him. He would go on to write things like, man, I love that when everything's going well and God's just blessing my life, that's great. But when I have nothing, one point he said, I've just learned that with food and clothing, I'm content. I'm good. That I have my needs met. I'm telling you, if you can get to this place, if you can find this type of contentment, it is the key to unlocking the comparison trap. Where then you don't even have to get rid of your Instagram account. You don't have to get rid of your Facebook account. You can see all those things and you're happy for those people. You're blessing those people and you want them to have the best because you just realize I've got the perfect life in Christ. I'm happy in Him. And so whether I have everything or whether I have nothing, I'm content. Now, this does not, let me put this out there. This does not mean that you don't have a desire for more in your life. A lot of Christians misunderstand contentment. Contentment isn't just like, well, whatever life throws at me, you know, I'm good, my family, I shouldn't have any ambition, I shouldn't have a desire. Like, where are these desires coming for? I want a better house, I want a better place for my family, I want a better ideal situation. That's, contentment isn't just throwing all that out the window. Contentment is I don't necessarily feel like I need things to improve, but it doesn't eliminate the desire for things to improve. Contentment is, you know what, if things improve, I'm hoping for better, I'm wishing for better, I'm working, but you know what, if it doesn't get better, I'm still happy. It's the difference between contentment and improvement, right? It's okay to want to improve your situation, improve things for your family, improve your status in life, improve your position at work, and you got this, these are, God gives you these ambitions, these desires, and the scripture tells us he fulfills the desires of your heart. It's just not making sure that your contentment is dependent upon those things happening. He said, I'm okay whether it happens or not. I'm going to strive for more, but you know what, if I don't get that nicer house, that's okay. It doesn't mean I'm going to constantly keep trying to improve. I'm just going to be satisfied. It's the state of mind that I'm okay with what God has given me. And so contentment, it really is, it's the key to unlocking the trap. But there's more than just unlocking the trap. The truth is that after that, you've got to now be set free from the comparison trap. And what sets us free, well, the scriptures tell us, write this down, the truth will set you free. If contentment, ready for this? I'm like a rapper this morning. I'm so proud of myself. Contentment is the key. The truth will set you free. Oh, mic drop. Anybody just get that this morning? I know, wasn't that great? But I wanted you to remember, contentment is the key that unlocks the comparison trap, and then the truth will set you free. Because here's the problem with the comparison trap. The comparison trap is we get stuck in our own heads. We deal with all this negative self-talk, low self-esteem, feelings that we aren't worthy, right? That we don't belong. We think that we're not worthy of being at the table, that we aren't enough. And the truth is these types of negative thoughts, they can trap us tighter and tighter into the comparison trap. But Jesus said it like this. He says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So you've got to find contentment. But then you've got to discover the truth. And here's the truth. The truth is that you are enough in God's eyes. That you are secure in God's love. That all of your insecurity is trumped by the security that we have in Christ and his finished work on the cross. Here's what the truth tells us. The truth tells us that you're not worthy, but now in Christ, you are worthy. The truth tells us that, yeah, you were not good, but now in Christ, you are good. That you're not enough, but now in Christ, you are enough. This is what the truth does. And the truth has a way. I'm telling you, we get locked inside of our own heads, and the only thing that will unlock that is discovering the truth about who we are. I am who I say I am. Maybe I should say it like this. I am. Who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me. See, too many of us have allowed other people, other images, other voices to tell us who we are, to label our identity. And that's not the truth. The things that have been spoken over you, that negative self-talk, that low self-esteem that you possess today, that's not who you are. That's not the truth of who you are, because that's not who God says you are. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. And some of you, the way to unlock your mind today is discovering the truth of who you are. Are to stop allowing society and all this negative self-talk to identify, you know, I am who God says I am. He says I'm worthy. He says I'm enough. He says that I'm loved. That is who I am. Some of you, you need to stop listening to all of the voices that are going on inside of your head. Some of you got lots of voices in your head. Listen, don't just listen to yourself. But talk to yourself. Some of you, you ain't going to take anything else away today from this sermon. Be like, pastor told me I need to start talking to myself. You're just going to be walking around, people thinking you're weird and just talking to yourself. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sometimes all we do is we just passively listen to what everybody and everything has to say about us. Don't just listen to yourself. Sometimes you need to talk to yourself. Seriously, I do this. People think I'm crazy. Like, I talk to myself. I look at myself in the mirror sometimes, and I have to remind myself, because all of society is trying to tell me who I am, that you're not enough, that you're not good enough, that you don't belong at the table. And so, you know what I do? I combat that with positive self-talk. I do. Some mornings I get up in the mirror, and I remind myself that in spite of what everybody else thinks, like, you're good enough. Dude, you're good, bro. Like, man, you really got it going on. Let's go. You got this day. You're the best one going to be out there today. You deserve a spot on the team. And I pump myself up. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. But it's better than the way some of you talk to yourself. Some of you, you beat yourself up and you tell yourself, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't belong here. And you fill yourself with that. You need to know the truth. I don't just pump myself with positive self. I don't mean just positive self-talk. I speak the truth. I look through the lens of the way that God sees me, and I speak that into existence. And you need to do that. You need to rewire your brain in the way that human brain is it'll do anything that you tell it, if you tell it often enough and strong enough. And so if you tell the brain the wrong thing about yourself, then that is what it will accept and act upon. I'm not a psychologist. My wife is, though, and she does all this study, and she brings home all this information, and I read it, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, my God, that's so amazing. I got to use that in a sermon. This is what I found out, is that the conscious mind does not see the difference between statements like, we are clumsy, or we are graceful. Right? The mind doesn't know the difference. The mind is, you program what you are going to think about yourself. And so if you're telling yourself, I am clumsy, guess what? You're going to walk around, you're tripping over everything, you know, you don't have to walk. But if you tell yourself, man, you look in the mirror and think, man, I'm so graceful. And you just kind of walk around, you got this like perfect cadence to your step, shoulders back, right? Because the brain doesn't know the difference. It acts upon whatever you tell it. If you tell your brain, I am poor or I am wealthy, it doesn't know the difference. It just acts upon what you tell it. So imagine if you just started speaking into yourself, you know what? I am blessed. I am wealthy. And maybe I don't have all the money in the world, but man, I've got an amazing family. I've got a home. I've got a church family. I'm healthy. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got amazing kids. That's all your mind knows, is to act upon what you are telling it. I'm telling you this because the truth will set you free. And some of you have been speaking lies into your mind, and so you're living according to what you are speaking into your mind, and you've wired your mind the wrong way, and you're allowing other voices to passively just have access to your mind, and then you're repeating what they're telling. Some of you need to start not just listening to yourself, you need to start talking to yourself. You need to start repeating what God says about you. This is how Jesus handled temptation. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, like, you can have all this. You know what Jesus did? Jesus combated him by speaking the word of God. By speaking the truth over his life. The absolute best way to conquer negative thought patterns is to counter them with the word of God. Counter them with the word of God. This is what Jesus did to defy temptation. And some of you are tempted to believe the lies about yourself. And to give into that. And the best way you can conquer that is by just repeating God's word over and over and over and over in your mind. That's why the scripture talks about meditating upon God's word. It's rewiring your mind. It's eliminating all of the negative voices and allowing the word of God to resound inside of your thinking. First John says it like this. He says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. Watch this. And he knows everything. See, some of us are living life according to our feelings instead of the facts. This is what John's saying. John's saying, I know you feel guilty. I know you feel less than. I know you feel unworthy. I know you feel like you don't belong there. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve to have God's blessings on your life. But you know what? God's greater than our feelings. God knows everything. God, he sees you. He knows everything about you. He knew you were flawed. He knew you'd make mistakes. He knew that there were areas that you were inadequate, that you were insufficient in your life. He's seen all that, and he said, I still love you. I still think you're worthy. I still think you're worth dying for. You have worth to me. You're a son. They sang that song today. I am a child. You are one of my children. That's the way that God sees us. You are a child of God. Maybe you need to wake up tomorrow and look in the mirror and say, I'm a child of God. I am worthy. I am enough. I belong. Wherever God places me today, I belong there. I do deserve that pay raise. I do deserve a better place at the table. I do deserve my family to be blessed. I know that God wants me to have this. God is greater than your feeling. And so once you've unlocked the trap with contentment, the truth begins to set you free. There's really one last part of all that, and that is this. Write this down. And that is satisfaction guaranteed. You ever see that on the advertisement for products? Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Because they know you're going to buy that product, you're going to ship it in, you're not going to be happy, but you're not going to take the time to send it back and get a refund. So they can just put satisfaction guaranteed. Here's the thing about comparison, is that comparison creates this insatiable appetite within us. It doesn't matter how much you have, it doesn't matter how good life gets, we never have. This is what comparison does. It creates this insatiable, we never have enough. We're never satisfied. We always want more. It's always the next big thing. It's always the next nicer house, the newer neighborhood, the better job. We're always striving and striving and striving. We are thirsty and we're never satisfied. That's what comparison does. Comparison is you're never satisfied. But here's the reality, that there's only one place where we can experience true satisfaction. And that's in Jesus. One of the greatest illustrations of this is Jesus, while he's here on earth, one day he happens into a village, and typically what they do in the middle of the village, there would be a well where people would come and they would draw water. And one day Jesus finds himself at a well. It's in the middle of the day. Typically people would come in the morning to the well, but at this particular day, time of the day is when the outcasts would come, people that weren't really accepted inside of society. They would come there at this time of the day so they wouldn't have to be embarrassed or ridiculed. And so Jesus is there in the middle of the day, and there's a woman that comes to the well to draw water. And Jesus says to the woman, he said, would you get me something to drink? And they have this conversation, and she's asking, Jesus begins to tell her, you know, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me something for something to drink. You have to understand, this is a woman that has been married 5 times in her life. She's the outcast of society. She's been married 5 times. The man that she's currently living with is not even her husband. Kids today would say, this girl is thirsty. You know what I mean? Like, she's thirsty, if you know what I'm saying. She thirsty. She's trying to satisfy, and it's true, she really is thirsty, not just physically. She's not just thirsty physically and trying to get water to supply her physical needs, but emotionally and internally, she is thirsty, and she's trying everything to fill and satisfy this longing inside of her heart. She's thirsty. And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, woman, you would be asking me for something to drink. Jesus would tell her, what you're going to drink from at this well, tomorrow you're going to come back and you're going to be thirsty again. But if you were to drink from what I have to offer you, he says, you would never, watch this. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I give, they'll never be thirsty again. Some of you, you're caught in the comparison trap. If I can just have this, if I can just get that, if I can, it's on to the next big thing. It's always something else, to try to satisfy really what's going on inside of you. You're thirsty. You've got this insatiable appetite, and you're looking in all of the wrong places to try to fulfill your longing. Jesus says, but those who drink the water that I give, they'll never be thirsty again. He says, it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. And listen to what this woman says. She's been searching. She's went through five guys. She's on six. That's, and I think that a lot of times that's where we look initially to try to fill this craving, is we look to relationships, right? To try to fill this longing. She's been there. She's done that. She says, please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here. She doesn't quite get it yet. She's starting to understand. She still thinks he's talking about this well. She said, I'll never have to come here to get water. But Jesus was trying to tell this woman that what you're looking for, this insatiable appetite that comes from scanning through Instagram or Facebook or reading these stories or looking at magazines or viewing everybody's life around you, creates this discontentment, this longing, this insatiable appetite. You're really trying to fill a void that none of that will fill anyways. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you got the nicer house. You got a better car. You got the raise on the job. You got a new position. You moved from that neighborhood. And you're still not happy. Because if you drink from anything that this world has to offer you, it'll always leave you wanting more. And Jesus has this profound conversation with this woman that he wants to have with all of us today. He says, there's a source of water that if you were to drink from it, you'll never be thirsty again. It is satisfaction guaranteed. Guaranteed. Like whether you wake up tomorrow and things are going well, or it feels like you're going through hell, it doesn't matter. You are going to be satisfied if you'll drink from the water that I have to give you. And I'm telling you, the only way to break free out of the comparison trap is to drink from the water that Jesus offers us today. You won't find it. You won't find it in your spouse. You won't find it in your children. You won't find it in money or any other type of wealth. The truth is what really is happening today is deep inside of you is this longing for something that can only be filled by Jesus. And so Jesus tells her, it's not another husband. It's not getting yourself another man. It's found in Jesus. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Because I feel like today Jesus is here at the proverbial well again, wanting to have a very similar conversation with each and every one of us. Maybe today you find yourself thirsty. Maybe your soul is parched and you're longing for a refreshing drink of living water. Maybe you're searching for satisfaction and it seems to be eluding you at every turn in life. I would tell you today to come to Jesus. Come to him and drink of the living water that he offers. Come to Jesus and be, I promise you, tomorrow if you get a pay raise, you close on that new house, you get that new outfit, you finally make plans for that vacation, you'll wake up still wanting more. You'll wake up still unhappy with something missing. It's all found in Jesus. Some of you are on a quest and you're searching this morning. I'm telling you, come to Jesus. Find rest from your searching. Come to him. Come to him. And as he said, you'll never thirst again. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. More than likely, if you're honest this morning with yourself, you know there's a part of your life that is empty, that you're striving and you're searching and you're trying everything to feel this insatiable appetite that you have, that there's something missing. You're always finding yourself wanting more. And today, God wants to free you from that trap. The trap this morning. Some of you, it's in your mind. And your mind and your heart is flooded with all of these negative thoughts about who you are, about what you'll never have. And today Jesus is saying, if you just come to me, if you'll drink from the water that I have today, you'll never thirst again. again. That you'll find the peace, the satisfaction, the contentment that we're all longing for. It can only be found in Jesus. By you receiving Jesus into your life and finding yourself in Him. So if that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus into your life today. To finally have that thirst quenched once and for all. Where you don't have to look anywhere else. Where you can stop searching. You can leave the quest to find what you're missing today. I'm telling you, it's all in Jesus. It's all in Jesus. He says that, come to me, all of you that are weary, all of you that are thirsty, I want to give you rest today. Some of you are tired. You're tired of being empty. You're tired of always striving and thinking if you can get that next step, if you can get that next thing, that you'll be happy, and it always leaves you empty. I'm telling you, your search is over today. You don't have to strive anymore. Today you can find rest. So if you would, one more time, just close your eyes this morning. And I want you to know your search is over. You don't have to be tired any longer. You don't have to be unhappy. You don't have to be left wanting more today. You can leave full, your life full today with Jesus. Just pray with me today. Say, dear Jesus, I receive you into my life. I'm tired of searching. I'm tired of striving. Today I want to find rest. So I'm coming to you. I want to receive you into my life today. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that you are enough for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this last song.